Where the hell have you been, soldier?
Training, sir!
Training, sir!
What kind of training, son?
Pizza training, sir!
Hey, gang, it's episode number 135 of Drew and Sam Talk Training. I am Sam with Fowler Consulting.
And I am Drew with Next Level Pizza Company.
And listeners, I owe you a huge apology because on episode number 132 or 133, we talked about Drew's number one thing, and he gave me the opportunity to come back with it on the next episode, and I missed it. So here I am, the product guy. Today, we're going to talk about the importance of making great product. Drew, does that surprise you at all?
I would love to say it does, that I am shocked, I am stunned, befuddled, bewildered, flabbergasted even, but no, I'm not at all.
So we're going to jump right in with both feet. And again, for the record, if you're talking about product and service and which one is more important, it's a tie. It's just a tie. You got to have them both if you want to be successful. And spoiler alert, you want to be successful. So on today's episode of Sam Rants About Product.
I can't wait. I have popcorn ready. Hold on. I'm going to crack a beer. Let's go.
That's awesome. Drew, who do our listeners for the most part work for?
Like overarching would be Domino's.
If you had to put Domino's in a category and it was very vague, what would you say that category is?
That'd be a quick service restaurant.
So, and if you only had to say one word, what would you say?
Restaurant.
So we're running restaurants, and I don't know about you, but I go to a restaurant to get food.
Generally speaking, yes.
And if the food's not good, there's a really good chance that I will not be returning.
If I may, real quick, you've never heard of Ruth's Chris doing trivia night.
That's correct. So I believe that product is the cost of admission to this game that we're trying to win. And service is what can differentiate you from your competition.
Ooh, that was deep.
I don't think we can differentiate ourselves from our competition with merely our product. I think that if any restaurant makes their food to spec and you get it hot and fresh, someone is going to like it. And if we narrow that down to pizza, I have rarely eaten a pizza I didn't like if it was hot and fresh and made to spec.
I agree. I will occasionally go out and get pizzas from other places, but generally speaking, I am so crushed that it's usually only a pizza if I make it.
Yes, we can be pizza snobs. That's for sure. You know, to the last episode when I said that I don't know who did it or how it happened, but I take great pride in my pizzas. I rarely let other people make my pizza because I want it made to spec. I don't want it made to Sam's spec. I want it made to spec. That's how I typically make pizzas. So I think the thing that we've gotten lost in, and we went through a very traumatic time in human history with this whole pandemic thing, and there were days that simply getting the stores open were very challenging. And with all the emphasis on service, which is important, it's important that we deliver quickly.
So you just didn't want me to rant there, but continue.
I think that we've forgotten that we're a restaurant and that we serve human beings food. And I think what we're starting to do is we look at the order screen as a challenge to clear. And we look at the heat rack as a challenge to clear. And what we forget is that when there is a product in our hands, it is somebody's meal. It is going to a human being. And the quality of that food is going to be a huge determining factor in their experience. And I see this a lot, especially when we're, say, prepping breads. We're more interested in getting 20 orders of bread done than we are in executing the one order of bread that's in front of us and making sure that we're making it for someone. We're just simply trying to get our prep done. Does that make any sense at all?
Friend of the show, Jeremy Hill, would say that we need to humanize the experience.
He would.
I agree. So I will tell you, when I'm teaching it, like, let's talk product or prep for a second. I briefly mentioned the whole brand is a promise of consistency, and that your customers expect the same thing at noon on Monday as they get at 6 p.m. on Friday. And to make it even worse, they expect it noon on Monday at the neighboring store and 6 p.m. at Friday at your store, and they expect it to be the same. That's the extent of I go to the customer side of it. I might do a little bit more if there's some pushback around, like when was the last time you had a bad experience kind of thing. But then generally I get into that whole, like, what's in it for them and making their work suck less, right? So I dehumanize it. I for the customer, I want to be less about the customer, more about how we interact with it, just from a standpoint that I need them to understand that what we're doing is for the customer. However, I want to make work suck less for you. Does that make sense?
Oh, I think it makes total sense. I think that we need to have our tool belt full of many different ways to motivate our team members to get to the desired outcome of a pizza that meets rim size, portion placement, bake, or a bread twist that's, you know, 2 inches in length with 1 inch legs, and you can put your finger inside the ribbon. I'm a big fan of having many different ways to get my team members to do what I need them to do by making them want to do it. And I love that you are using the "I'm going to make your job suck less." My, you know, friend of the show, Dan Elwell, says we got to take the suck out of the job. And we do have to take the suck out of the job. You know, one of the things I like to say is every decision I make, I think about what's in the best interest of the customer. If making the job suck less is making better pizzas, then that's in the best interest of the customer. So I'm on board 100%. And we're going to have team members that sadly are more interested in making their job easy than delivering for the customer. So if that's the technique we're going to use to get them to the end goal that I would want in my store, I'm fine with that technique. I got zero issue with that whatsoever. But we can't make pizza. You know, I visited 4 stores yesterday, and there were pizzas on the rack in every single store. And every single one, I opened the box, and it was like I heard that sound that you hear on The Price is Right, you know, before I go into a coaching session with them of rim size, portion placement, bake, you know, I'm asking them questions. How long have you been with us? Are we treating you okay? How long have you been running shifts? And, you know, we've got some folks that have been cast in starring roles before they're ready for the show.
Yeah, then they're not even understudies. They haven't read the script.
I don't think it's necessarily their fault that the product that's going out is going out. And I don't think it's anybody's fault. You know, the stores are open 7 days a week. They need to be open from open to close, and somebody's got to open that door, and not being open is not a great option. So, you know, back to the episode we talked before about this on-time training or events versus current, you said it better. I forgot already.
Scheduled versus spontaneous.
Scheduled versus spontaneous. We've got to make sure that we're seizing these spontaneous moments so that our product can get to a place that is really accentuating the service that we're doing. It takes skill to make great product. I don't know that it takes a whole lot of skill to deliver great service. When we talk about speed of service, it takes goals and it takes somebody pushing the way. But a driver on their first night can deliver speed of service if the manager is helping them do that.
If the rest of the team is on board. Yeah.
A pizza maker on the first night might not be able to make a great product. That's a skill.
I want to say, I think it's more like how the message is communicated and then how the message is followed up. We can talk that it's about product, but it's really not about product. So as you know, I'm a huge fan of prep. And I want to be busy when it's slow, so it feels slow when it's busy.
Absolutely.
And I feel this is a kind of okay message, and I think people understand it. And so I was in a store the other day, and it was 3 o'clock, 3:15. I asked the manager, I'm like, so where are you at on prep? And she's like, my AM, and the AM's like a week, 10 days of running shifts alone. Okay. She goes, my AM, she left like 15 minutes ago. All the prep's done for the night. I'm like, okay, so tell me, walk me through. Just show me what you mean. I have a prep report. I could pull the prep report out and check it off, but I'm doing a knowledge check, right? 315. We have twice as many things and pans as we need. I have two full float racks of very crusty, very dried out pizza skins.
Yummy.
Once we started talking, what happened was that she set an expectation for the assistant to, and I quote, get all the prep done.
That seems pretty vague.
So in getting all the prep done, the AM, 10 days in, first job in pizza, was like, okay, I got yelled at like two or three times now for pans and twists and bites and skins. So she just made them all at like 10 a.m. So step back. She did what I wanted her to do, just not when I wanted her to do it. She didn't understand why. And now all that work she put in, we threw away. So I tell this because like how we communicate what that expectation is matters as much or potentially more than what the expectation is in the first place.
I'm in the more camp.
If we're not clear, we're just wasting time and spinning tires.
Yes. And then not only are we wasting time and spinning tires, but then we're also throwing product away.
Right. So now we're wasting money there. Guaranteed the customers that ordered during that lunch did not get good product. And yeah, no one ends up happy. But if you want to step back and be technical, she did what was asked of her.
Correct.
It's not a matter of, I'm not trying to pull you away from product, but as often is the case, we might focus in on something, me on a turnaround time or you on product. And it's not really about that. It's about the bigger issue. Now you can say, yes, totally get it, that we suck at making pizza sometimes. I am not really disagreeing with that at all, but I'm just saying that it's a symptom of a larger issue.
Yes, it is. And I love that you just said symptom, because my mind is going through, I wanted to talk about product and we're getting into process and we're getting into leadership and we've got to find the root cause. And I think the root cause of our product is probably the root cause of every opportunity we've got for improvement in the store. And that's a lack of leadership.
And it's not that they don't want to be a good leader. And so you said like services is kind of talentless, right? Just do the things that are put in front of you. The number of people who don't know how to run service because they've never seen it. It's stunning to me.
Yes.
It's crazy that I can walk in, assign some roles, barely touch product, like maybe 3-4 pizzas in 3 hours, and right, lower delivery times by 10-15 minutes.
Correct.
With the same people that were there the night before or the week before.
Yes. Yes.
It's not me doing anything other than what I call playing human pinball flippers, that my entire job is to just keep bouncing people back to where they're supposed to be.
Right. And wow. I'm looking at a whole field full of rabbit holes now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the importance of people knowing what they're supposed to do could be the first step to getting great product. I mean, people are just trying to do everything and then nothing's getting done. I like that human pinball machine thing that you're talking about. One of the things I'm doing in the store I'm at now, I mean, this is how basic I'm trying to be. I'm telling the insiders that no matter what else you're doing, when there's an order on a screen, that's job one.
Yep. Prep doesn't matter unless you're specifically talking to a customer.
Yeah. And it's, at first it was frustrating that I had to do that. Then I took a step back and I thought to myself, well, if nobody has told them that, why would I expect them to know that? You know, I did a high performance general manager class in Cincinnati a few weeks back, and we started talking about common sense and what should be common sense and what shouldn't be. I'm now solidly in the camp that nothing should be common sense, that everything has to be taught and everything has to be learned. And why would we expect that other human beings have the same life experiences that we had, and things that we take for granted or things that we think are common would be common to them if they haven't had the same experiences that we have? Why should somebody know how to use a broom if they never have? Why should somebody know how to do dishes if they never have? It's up to us to teach them.
Every home has a three compartment sink. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
I was laughing as you were talking about that, because the first thing that went through my head was driving. Everyone that is driving, 98% of people that are driving pass the test to be able to drive. And yet anywhere you go, anywhere I've gone, everyone always complains about all the drivers.
Yes, I passed that driving test 43 years ago.
I have passed that driving test many times because I'm on license from state number 7.
I mean, just because I passed a test 43 years ago, and when I passed the test, there were no roundabouts. And when I moved to Massachusetts in 1985 and came up to my first roundabout, it was a terrifying experience until I figured out how to do it. And, you know, we've got roundabouts in Dexter now, and people are just like, why don't they know how to do it? Because we never had them. I don't remember everything I was taught 43 years ago in driver's ed with Mr. Walsh at Dexter High School. I'm pretty sure roundabouts were not covered.
Parallel parking was covered for me. And outside of visits to corporate stores in New York, I don't think I ever parallel park if I have, unless I absolutely direly have to. So in the last like 15 years, I've probably parallel parked 6 times.
I learned how to parallel park in a 1977 Ford F-150 four-wheel drive by my dad. And he said, you back up until you hit the car and then you move up a foot.
Bonk.
I mean, because in the 70s, we had big bumpers. You weren't going to hurt anything. Now, if I backed up and hit a car, it'd be $5,000 worth of damage. You know, turning it back to product or process or whatever it is, why would we expect somebody to know to put all the toppings to the edge unless we tell them? And why would we expect somebody to know that the sauce borders 3/4 inch on a hand-tossed pizza unless we tell them? We are really good at what we're really good at. And then we are just amazingly dense at thinking everybody else should know what we know. Why would they?
That's the whole situational leadership, right? That once I get to stage 4 in situational leadership, I'm good and I can't even explain it, right? It's the unconscious competence.
Yes.
So I prefer unconscious incompetence where I suck and I don't know it. Such a better thing.
It is, because
you're just walking around like the Lego song. Everything is awesome. And like everything's on fire around you. You don't care. It's like awesome.
Okay, so let's wrap this puppy up. We started talking about product. We got into leadership. We talked a lot about process and the importance of it. Listeners, do this for yourselves. Do this for your teams. Do this for your customers. Go into your stores tonight and take a look at your product processes and see what one thing you could do today to start delivering awesome service and better product. Choose one product and fix it tonight. Take a look at your stack of prepped bread bites or bread twists and see if they all meet spec. And if they don't, have some in the moment coaching and teach people the importance. We did bread bites yesterday in this store that I'm working at. And I taught the manager and I said, now I want you to teach a driver. And I watched him. And I mean, this kid's a natural coach. He did so good. It was amazing. And then without me prompting him, he was just paying attention to how I trained him and what I asked him to do next. He looks at the driver and he says, now I want you to train the next driver. It was amazing to me when the next driver came in to do bites, the first driver walked over to him and said, Hey, we've got to do this because these are going to people and we want to make sure they're right. And I was just over in the corner of the store and my heart was beaming to see that this hourly team member that's been with us for less than 4 or 5 months was taking pride that somebody had showed him how to do something right and then was giving the responsibility to showing someone else do it right. I'm not saying that's going to happen with every team member. I'm not that naive, but it's going to happen with a lot of them. And the more people you try to do it, the easier your job is going to become because it's going to start to take the suck out of the job. And it's going to make the dinner rush more fun. Instead of getting to that 10th order of twist and you look at it and you're like, what the heck is this? I mean, these people were watching this stuff come out of the oven and they were oohing and aahing at the difference in the product, and they were starting to take pride in it. And that's how we change the culture. And that's how we maintain being the world's number one pizza company. We've got to do this as leaders. We can't be quiet leaders. We've got to be constantly talking about our opportunities.
If you are not sure how to do something, go to the source, go to the training video, go to the standards, go to the peer that does it correctly.
Wait, there's standards?
There are standards.
Welcome to my whole field of rabbit holes.
And at least for Domino's, all the product standards tell you exactly how to do everything.
Yes, they do.
So like, don't make stuff up on the fly. If you're not sure, go verify and then go show somebody how to do it the right way.
I think it's pretty impressive when you hear a leader say to a question, "I don't know, but I'll go find out." To me, that is just such a strong, confident leader, that they're so strong in their leadership ability that when somebody asks them a question they don't know, they just come right out with it. "Yeah, I don't know, but we'll find out."
Then right now, I am the best leader in the world.
Right? Because there's been so many changes since you and I were day-to-day operators.
Oh my gosh, just the number of logins. Yeah. I have like 87 logins in the last like 2 weeks. I don't even know sometimes where I'm logging into.
Yeah. I'm in this store trying to help this young man become a better leader. And, you know, people are looking at you not knowing what your purpose is there. And they think you just have answers to everything. And the first time I threw out the, "Man, I don't know, but we'll find out," somebody looked at me like, "You don't?" I said, "No, I don't know everything, but I've got pretty good resources and we can find the stuff." So that's cool. All right. Note taker.
All right.
Wrap this up.
So although it started as the rant heard around the world around product, it really comes down to how you communicate with your team, how you set expectations for your team, and how you lead your team, whether it's around product or prep, or talking to your customers. If you don't know how to do something, it is perfectly okay to say, "I don't know," and to go in search of the true answer. Because in our field, as in most fields, there is a true answer, unless it's quantum mechanics.
And it's not. Spoiler alert.
It's not.
It's not.
All right. Bring us home.
Gang, you've been listening to episode 135. Like us, follow us. Do whatever it takes to get more people to hear the good word of the Domino's Pizza guys. As always, I am Sam with Fowler Consulting.
And I am Drew with Next Level Pizza Company.
And go out there, sell more pizza.
And have more fun.
That's all, folks.